Okay, we're starting the new perek. Hamakdish esodehu. This perek is talking about here. Yamakdish a field b'so she'ina yovel noyeg. So yamakdish your field when the yovel is not noyeg. Till now we've been dealing during the yovel. Now the Mishnah is dealing with when the yovel is not noyeg. Yovel is the most limited halacha we have in Zroim, meaning. Yovel is only noyeg. You see, the other mitzvahs hakluyas baaretz is totally in the shaila of kitchel ashata v'kitchel osad lovay. By all the mitzvahs hakluyas baaretz, so when we deal with the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, we deal with if the kedusha that Eretz Yisrael got remains even after they lose the land, and that's a generic machloikas in Gan Shas, and that obviously affects how we treat the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael today. As far as mitzvahs is concerned. So the Rambam brings down that there are certain kedushas that don't have to do with kibush, like at the kedusha Beis Hamikdash, Yerushalayim. The Rambam holds that kedusha is permanent, because that's a shechina kedusha, that's not conquering. So the Rambam therefore holds that the Mikdash Yerushalayim, that stays kodesh forever, no matter what. And the kedusha of mitzvahs, trumas and maisras, that depends on conquering. And therefore, if Eretz Yisrael is conquered by Yidden, and it's a big shaila, what does that mean? Some want to argue that today it's also conquered by Yidden. So maybe today it should be like the original days, as far as kibush. So it's question is, you need Rov Yisrael. So today you don't have Rov Yisrael. But then there's Rabbeinu Gershon and Erechin that seems to say 600,000 is enough, like the original Yetzer Mitzrayim, in which case today you would have enough. So that's a separate issue, which is, we could spend a lot of time on that topic, it's not for now, on to analyze if it's possible that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael today should be different than it was, let's say, 100 years ago. It's obviously a halachic shaila, it's a controversial, it has a lot of ramifications to it. But that's a side issue. Yovel is the extreme, because Yovel, the Rambam, and the Sefer Achinuch bring down that Yovel is only Noyeg, because the Pasuk says, Yovel hi l'chol yoshvel. So Yovel is only Noyeg when all Klal Yisrael are there. Not only Roiv, you need all Klal Yisrael, all the Shvatim. And it has to be that each Shevet is organized, because it's the words l'chol yoshvel. So that means if, let's say, you had Roiv of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, but they're not l'shvateha, Reuven doesn't know where Shimon is. Shimon doesn't know where Levi is. Nobody knows where they... They're just living in a taruvus in Eretz Yisrael. There's no din of Yovel. So Yovel is the most extreme. That's why it even after God and Reuven went into Golos, and they were completely out of the picture, so the Rambam and the Chinuch both say that the Yovel then became Batel. That means even Bimei Kedem, when Rov Yisrael were there. And that's why the Rambam brings down that during the Bayis Sheni, they were loimonu as hayovelis. So, Yovel is an extreme. Yovel is only noeg when Klal Yisrael are there, and it's l'shvatov. So Yovel is, there's no debate. That's why you won't find any debate whether Yovel is noeg b'zman hazeh. On Yovel there's no debate. Yovel is not noeg. So the Mishnah is going now when Yovel is not Noyeg. So when Yovel is not Noyeg, so it comes out that the owner of the field has an endless time technically to redeem it. Okay? Because when Yovel is not Noyeg, the sale is permanent too. Right? So all the guidelines that we had till now don't apply. So the Mishnah says, Hamakdish Sadeyu Bisho Sheina Yovel Noyeg, Oimer Loi Psoch Atarishin. So we tell him that you open up first. We tell the Bailim, you should be the first one to redeem it. Why? Why do we want the Bailim to redeem it? Shabailim noisnim chaymesh v'chaladame noisnim chaymesh. The reason why Hekdish has a benefit for the Bailim to redeem it is because the Bailim will add on a chaymesh to whatever it is. Bizman shayoyvel noyek, it could actually be the opposite. The Bailim have a flat rate. Right? They redeem it back on a flat rate. But bizman she'ena yevel noyek, then it's an auction. So if it's an auction, so you're dealing with whatever you're going to get, you're going to get, and then from the bailim you get another chumish, you get an extra fifth on top of whatever the redemption price is. So hekdish benefits. So the way the Mishnah reads, this is solely done because we want to benefit hekdish. The gizbo wants to get hekdish the best buck you can get for hekdish, and therefore the gizbo tries to encourage the bailim to redeem. It's not mashma from the Mishnah that there's a chiv on the, so the Gemara's kasha is going to be. It's not mashma there's a chiv on the Bailam to redeem it. It's not mashma that the Bailam have some kind of a schus to redeem it. It's mashma stam. Hegdish on its own pursues the Bailam to get the biggest buck. Like this, they'll get whatever they get and they'll get a chumish on top of it. That's what the Gemara, that's what the Mishnah reads. Maise be'echot she'igdish sadeum im ne'roso. A guy was once makdish's field because it wasn't worth having. So it also basically means that whatever it would cost to keep the field going was more than the field would produce. So it wasn't worth having such a field. So he redeemed it. So he was makdish it. Omar loy, so the gizbo told him, Psech atarish. Omar rei shali biso. I'll take it for an iso. 8 putis, right? Omar Rabbi Yossi, he says that wasn't the story. He offered even less than an Isa. He offered only a Kabeya. Kabeya was usually less than a Pruta. In Yerushalayim, the eggs were worth more because Ein Megadlin Town, a Gerlin, Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to bring up chickens in Yerushalayim. And because of that, the eggs had at least a Sheva Pruta. Outside of Yerushalayim, an egg wouldn't even be worth a Sheva Pruta. So he redeemed it with an egg. Shehegdish nivde bekesef will be shovekesef. Because you could use shovekesef, according to everybody. Amuloi higiyoscho. So the gizbo told him, okay, it's yours. Nobody else wanted a bid on the field. So the bailam took it. Nimtzo mafsidi so, he loses the money, he has to give the money to Hegdish. Visodei lufonov. And he's stuck with the field now. Okay. So now, the Mishnah is, still, the Mishnah doesn't sound like the Bailam have to redeem it. But we'll see, the last case in the Mishnah sounds like the Bailam have to redeem it. Why did the guy offer anything for the field? Why do you offer an Isra for the field? If he was trying to unload the field to begin with, and that's why he gave it to Hegdish. So why did he redeem it back at all? Stop, how do you learn the Maisa? Why did the guy redeem it back? So the end of the Mishnah already implies that there was no choice. The gizbo came to me and he said, okay, you gotta do it. And he did it. And he was stuck again with the field. So the Gemara Taka says that. The Gemara says, Hamakdish Sadeu Bishah. Oimrim says, the Gemara, the Mishnah sounds like we just tell him. We encourage him to redeem it. V'atanya Koifin. We force the owner to redeem it. It's not just we encourage, we pursue. We force him. So the Gemara says, you're right. My oimrin nami koifin. That's what the word means. Oimrin doesn't always mean we tell him. Oimrin could mean also kfir. It means we force him. If you buy your seima, or if you want, we could say the word oimrin taka doesn't mean kfir, but we start that way. May kor oimrin, itzoyis tzoyis, fi lav koifin. If the guy listens, he listens. If not, you force him to do it. This is found in one of the shmuzin of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. He says this sugi, he brings down this sugi in Yonei Chinuch. He says you should never force a kid, even something that you know you're going to have to force him. Certain things you shouldn't force a kid, b'chlal. But if even something you know you're going to have to force the kid. He says you see that even, you see from Chazal, that even if the end of the day you have to force, first you try to do it without forcing. Forcing is not the way you go. First you say, oimrim. And then if it's not masking, then it's koifin. See, here they knew they're going to have to be koifin. But they still didn't start with kfir. They told him psach atarishin. They asked him. They made a request. Okay. So the Gemara comes out now, lemaisa, that we forced the owner to redeem the field. It's bal kochach, we forced the owner to redeem the field. So Tosis is bothered. Where did this din forcing come from? Mayim lim koifin, the third Tosis on the daf. Tosis says, v'yim toima, Maishno the tzorich kfiyoch or tfei mikol hani detnan b'seif perakama de b'cheres. If you look at the end of the first perak in b'cheres, over there it brings down a whole list. We have it on the Mar Mekaymus. It's actually, it's the Mishnah above the one that's underlined. The last Mishnah in the first perak, lo yigotzo livdoisa. Over there, the halacha is that l'chatchila, a petach hamor, they have it today still, they do it in Eretz Yisrael. L'chatchila, you have to redeem the firstborn donkey, you have to redeem it. L'chatchila, you have to redeem it with a seer. So use a sheep. If you don't redeem it, the halacha is you knock the head off. Obviously, what's done normally is they do it with a sheep. So it says, lo yigotzo livdoisa, then you have to chop the head off from the back. Now the Mishnah says, Mitzvahs Pediyah, Kedemes L'Mitzvahs Arifah. Mitzvahs Pediyah, redeeming it, comes before. Shenemayim, Lo Yisiv Devar After. It says only if you didn't redeem it. Better to redeem it. Mitzvahs Yidah, Kedemes L'Mitzvahs Abdiyah. It says in the Pasuk that the Torah says that the girl, if the owner doesn't, is not miyayeder, then she could redeem herself out. But it's preferable that you should do yid. L'chatchila, the other is supposed to marry the om of riyah. So mitzvahs yidah kodemes l'mitzvahs haftiyah. Shenema shalo yodah v'hefta. Mitzvahs ha-yibum kodemes l'mitzvahs chalitza. Now all these things were all l'chatchila. And then the Mishnah goes on, b'rishon mechav l'shem mitzvah. Originally they used to do yibum for l'shem mitzvah. V'achshav she'em iskavnu l'shem mitzvah, mitzvah chalitza comes before mitzvah yibum. That's Abba Shaul. That today, since people marry for companionship, they're not marrying for the purpose of the mitzvah, so it's better to do chalitza than to do yibum. Now here's the punchline, the last case of the Mishnah. Hagu'ula ba'odayn. The odayn, the owner of the field, is the one who's preferable to redeem it. Hu koydem l'kol odayn. So Toisus is, in our sugya, Toisus is asking that over here in the Mishnah, this whole list of things, we don't force. Even though it's better to use the sheep than to knock the head off of the donkey, we don't force the owner, he can do what he wants. Right? Mitzvah Yibum. We don't force him to do Yibum. Even though Yibum is better than Chalitza, we don't force him to do Yibum. So that's the thrust of the Mishnah. Yiyot. Avad, it's better for the Adam to do Yiyot. To marry the Yom of Riyah, but we don't force him. So Tosfos is bothered that we find that when there's a mitzvah which is optional, we don't force you to do the mitzvah. Even though this is better. In fact, Tosfos, if that's the case, why over here do we force the Adam? The Gemara says, "My Oimrim Koif." The Gemara says over here, we force the owner of the field to redeem the field. So Tosfos is bothered. What do you mean? This is all part of that Mishnah. And we don't normally do this. That's Tosfos kasha. So Tosfos gives a very difficult answer. Tosfos says by us, he says, L'yashkechom b'kfiya kiyim b'zeh. V'yeshloimah, the bottom of the Tosfos. D'shani yocho d'yocho lovi l'idei takol. Here you can have a problem. Because here, the field has Kedusha. Right? The field has Kedusha. And since the field has Kedusha, if you're going to leave it like this, so it's boli de mila. You're going to come to mila. Somebody uses the field, it's in mila. So therefore, we turn to the owner and tell him you have to redeem it. So this approach that takes us, this kasha is gevaldik. The tenets is very difficult to understand on many fronts. First of all, why is that my problem? I was mocked to Sheffield to Hector. I'm a nice guy. I'm generous. I went ahead and I gave my field to Hekdesh. Okay? Now you're coming to me and saying, I have to redeem the field. Yeah? 1 second. No, we're not talking about Mechus Sodom at Negos. That was the safe of the case. We're talking about all cases. A guy is Makdish's field to Hekdesh. So the Gemara says that even though the Mishnah uses a language which sounds like it's preferable for him to do it, it's not. We force him to do it. Right? So Tosfos asks, So Tosfos says, no, we don't look for somebody else. We force him. The Gemara says koifin. Koifin means we force him. That means we go to him and we force him to do it. Now, the only way we'll go to somebody else is if for some reason he doesn't have the money. The owner, according to the Gemara, according to the conclusion of our Gemara, the only time you're ever going to look elsewhere is if the owner, for some reason, can't do it. He has no money. Otherwise, we're going to force him to do the, we're going to force him to redeem it. Right? That's the halacha. The Gemara, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amrim. The Gemara says, Tanya Koifin. So the Gemara says, you're right. Koifin. I, why does it say Amrim? The Gemara says, the word Amrim means Koifin. It means we force him. That's one pshat. And the other pshat in the Gemara is, first we tell him, and then if he doesn't listen, we force him. Absolutely. Somebody else could bid it. Absolutely. He has to be on the auction block. The owner has to come to the auction and make a bid. He does not have an option to be out of the circle. He has to make a bid, and ultimately, if that bid wins, he gets it. But the option of him saying, I'm not going to the auction, is not an option.
If nobody bids,
no. No. We force him to give a bid. The first bid must come from the Bailam. We come auction, right? The auction is 9:30 on the courthouse steps. Yeah? So we come, the auctioneer gets up, the Gizbar gets up, and he says, where's the Bailam? So if the Bailam is not there, he makes a call. Shalom Aleichem, we're waiting for you. And if that doesn't work, he sends the sheriff. And the Bailam come down, they pull the Bailam down there, and he gives the opening bid. There's no option. We forced him to give a bid. Frek Toises, what do you mean? That Mishnah in Bechoris that tells us that the owner is a preferred choice, is along a list of a bunch of mitzvahs. Yibum comes before Chalitza, and Pidyon comes before Arifa, and better for to do Yud, better than to do Pidya. But yet, in all these things, we don't force. Right? We don't force. So over here, we don't have to force either. Let other people bid. What do I have to bid for? I'm not interested in bidding. I donated the field. I have no interest. Tosfos is asking, why isn't this the same like all the other cases? All the other cases, there is an alternative. In all the cases in Bechoris, there's an alternative. The alternative there is, if there's no Yibum, there's going to be Chalitza. If there's no Yiyud, there's going to be Padiyah. If there's no Pidyon, there's going to be Arifa. And over here, if there's no owner, there's going to be somebody else. Now, if the Gemara would say by us that we open up the auction, and if nobody shows up and nobody redeems the field, then we send the sheriff, then Tosfos won't have a kasha. You have to realize that. Tosfos is only asking his kasha because the Gemara says that we force the owner, not the way Yidl was trying to understand that way. If nobody comes to the bid, we force him to bid. No. We force him to bid first. And if he doesn't come, we will force him to bid. We can have 1,000 people here wanting to bid on the field. We will force the bid to come out of the owner. And the Gemara says, why? Because there's a mitzvah that the owner should redeem it. And that's why we force him. So Tosfos asks, why do we do that for? Why do we force the owner to redeem it? That's Tosfos' cash. And Tosfos goes on to say that the reason why we force the owner to bidders, again, if the halacha would be that if nobody shows up, then we call the owner down, we say, listen, Reb Yid, happen, I have to go ahead and redeem. No problem. That would be like a guy says, I don't want to do chalitz and I don't want to do yibum. We will force him. We'll force him to do one or the other. He's not potter. But if the alternative, so if the sugi here would say that if there's no alternative, we force the bailam, Tosfos has no kasha. Tosfos is bothered that our Gemara says that the din tchila, the din that the owner has to insert the first bid, that will be imposed. So Tosfos is saying, why do we impose that? Why is it different than all the other cases? Gavaldik kasha, Tosfos comes. Tosfos comes and he answers, he says, no. He says, over here, there's a reason why we're more concerned. Because over here, if nobody redeems the field, No, we're not holding there yet. We're not holding there yet. But if it should be delayed, if the process would be delayed, then you could, every minute that we wait, the field could be Moel Behegdish. People could walk on the field. Anybody walks on that field is over Meila Behegdish, right? So we don't want to leave property in Hekdish's domain. So that's why we turn to the Bailam and we go, let's go do something. Okay? You got to do it. L'chaira, Tosfos Teretz is very difficult. Number one, the first thing you have to ask on Tosfos is, why can't the owner say, what do I have to do with this? You have a problem, Hekdish. That's a problem Hekdish has in general. The treasury of the Beis Hamikdash has an issue. That everything they own is sacred. Everything Hekdish owns, if somebody will use, will become, they'll be over and over of Mila Behegdish. And that should be a general achrayas. That's a responsibility of Hekdish. To make sure that their property is not abused. That's a general obligation. So, because I gave Hekdish a field, now I become responsible. It's your field. Just like the rest of your property. Hekdish has to watch their klei shores. They have to watch their property. So, now I become a mechut. What's Tosfos' answer? Tosfos is asking Gevaldik Akasha. He's asking, what do I have to do with this? Because there's a preference for me to redeem it? So what? There's a lot of mitzvahs that there's a preference. We don't force a preference. That's what preference means. Preference means we prefer it, but it doesn't have to be. So Tosfos is answering, well, over here, there happens to be a benefit to Hekdish, because otherwise somebody could use the field. Mistakenly. So why is that my problem? You guys take it. Build a fence. Call a contractor down and build a fence. What are you coming to me for? That's one kasha, which some of the Achronim ask. They don't understand what Tosfos is answering. But Menachem Zemba has a stronger kasha, which really the Rital Gazi in Bechiris is this kasha. And this is a bomb. Because actually, what's the aloha with a petach hamor? What's the aloha with a donkey, b'chor? Until you redeem it, what's the aloha? So there's a machlekes. It's machlekes. Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Whether the donkey is also banor. Some hold the donkey is also banor. Comes the Menachem Zemba, and he says, "Haloi kaimelon k'Rav Yehuda." We paskin like Rav Yehuda. The petach chamor also banor. That's the same thing. Petach chamor is also banor. So if the petach hamor is also banor, so we have the same problem. If the Bailam are not going to redeem it, till they redeem it, we're going to have a problem. So do it. Why can't we force him? That's his kasha. Mila. What? We don't. He has all the time in the world that he wants to do that. We don't go to him and say, okay, now, do it now. According to Tosfos, that it's a time issue. The reason why we go here tchila to the Bailam is because of the timing. You have the same time issue over there. Now, Rav Eliashiv, Zolzayin Gezunt, he has a shtickle in his sefer to try to answer this Tosfos question, b'chlal. So really what he does is he asks Akasha, he doesn't know why Tosfos is asking this question. Similar point to what David was trying to bring up, which is that we could analyze this. Let me just get the sefer. See, we could analyze that there's a very big difference between this case and all the cases in Bechiris. In all the cases of Bechiris, in that Mishnah, they're both mitzvahs that this individual has. Okay? So he has a mitzvah to either do Yibum or Chalitz. Okay? So Reuven, he has either a mitzvah Yibum or mitzvah Chalitz. He's going to do one of the two. Either he's going to do Yibum or he's going to do Chalitz. So the Mishnah says we don't force him. The Mishnah doesn't say we force him. We assume we don't force him. The mitzvah is that the Odin should either allow the girl to leave or he should be miyayed her. He should marry her. So it's preferable that he should do Yiyud. But either way, he's going to be doing the mitzvah. Either he'll be doing this mitzvah A or mitzvah B. Mitzvah A being the preferred mitzvah. So either you'll do Yibum or you'll do Chalitza. Fine, but either way, you're going to do the mitzvah that's on you. So we don't get involved. We don't get involved. It's like we don't. It's just like we don't stand and see what kind of esrog you buy. Bezdin had a right to force you to shake an esrog. That they were. When there was a bezdin, they had a right to force you. If a guy didn't sit in a sukkah, the Gemara says they could force you. In those days, in the days when the Yad Yisrael Tkif, we had Batei Dinim, they could force you to sit in the sukkah. Imagine today how many Yidden would get schlepped out into the sukkah for sleeping. You couldn't tell the bezdin stories. To me, you could tell your stories. To the bezdin, you couldn't tell your stories. They schlep you with your bed into the sukkah. Yeah? So, Lamaise, sukkah she'en a yoshiv, it doesn't even say in a yoichel, it says in a yoshiv, right? If you're not living in the sukkah, they put you in there, schlep you in there, right? Now, but bezdin can't force you to get episa mahudadik, the kindness schach. You got the not mahadrin mat. Bezdin can't go in there and say, well, you know, we want you to use the badatz, the Eide Charedis, that has also the Belz Hashgach, and also from B'nai from Vosner, and all the, we only want schach that was blessed by Yeshivim Zakenim. They can't force you. You just have to sit in a kosher sukkah. Yeah. But if you don't sit in the sukkah, they can force you. They can force you to sit in the sukkah. So Rav Yashiv is pointing out over here, the Bailam have a mitzvah to redeem it. Either they will redeem it or they won't redeem it. If they don't redeem it, they didn't do the mitzvah at all. That's why Bezdin forces. That's Rav Yashiv's solution to Tosfos Kasha. Notice the Gemara says, by us we force. Tosfos is coming and saying, what do you mean? We see from the Sugya Erechin that we don't, from B'chairis, that we don't force for the preferred mitzvah. So Rav Yashiv says, when is that? That's if nobody's being doing the mitzvah. Over here, the pshat is, nobody's going to do that mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on the Bailam. The Bailam should redeem it. If they don't do it, the mitzvah will be buckled. So it's more like somebody is telling you, I'm not going to do Yibam or Chalitza. Right? That's Rav Yashiv. This is a teretz to Tosfos' question. He's not answering Tosfos. He's saying something entirely different. He holds of this svara so much that he says he holds Tosfos doesn't have a kasha. He says like this. HaTosfos makshe, Tosfos asks, Maishno de tzorach kfiyah. Why do you have to force him? He says, V'kushyoso itzorach iyun. He says, I don't understand this question. He's not using this as a pshat in Tosfos. I don't understand Tosfos kasha b'chol. The Bekol Sharon Yonim Shiz Kiru. He says all the examples that Tosfos gives, Yesh Neitz Dodim Kiyu Mitzvah. There's a mitzvah either way. So there's a better mitzvah, there's a shvacher mitzvah. So Bezdin doesn't get involved to force you to do the better mitzvah. You have a right to say, I'm not Mahadrin, I'm kosher. But he says, the Af Chalitza Mitzvah. Vu Adin Arifas Petach Amor. Right? Opinion Boma. That's what Yashiv's question. If the Bailam don't redeem it, the mitzvah will be bottled completely. That's Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv is giving a solution, but really his solution is a question. He says, I don't understand what the Tosfos' question is. Tosfos doesn't have a question. So to Rav Yashiv's question on Tosfos, there are really two solutions, which puts us back in the same problem that we had. Number one, Rav Yashiv is taking on for Dover Poshet that Chalitz is a mitzvah. Not all agree to that. There's a famous Tshuvas Chassam Seif and a Chacham Tzvi that have a discussion in their Tshuvas whether Chalitz is a mitzvah. Not everybody maskim Chalitz is a mitzvah. There are many who hold, the Gemara in Yevamos uses the language on Daf Chof Aleph, Chalitz b'mokom yibum lav mitzvah. That's the terminology the Gemara uses. Because the Gemara asks, why is Asay Dechaloisa say? Why are you allowed to do Yibum? Do Chalitza. Why do we ever allow Yibum? Do Chalitza. Yibum is a sister-in-law. It's one of the Arayas. Why do we allow you to do Yibum? Do Chalitza. The Gemara says Chalitza b'mokom Yibum lav mitzvah. Chalitza is not like a mitzvah b'mokom Yibum. So one way to learn the Gemara just means on the scale of mitzvah, Yibum is a better mitzvah. And therefore Chalitza is not called Efshel Lekayim Shneim. The Chassam Sofer doesn't understand that way. The Chassam Sofer understands that by every Yibum, there are two things. There's a mitzvah to do Yibum, and there's an Isser for the woman to marry out. The Yavoma can't marry anybody else. There's a lav. There's a mitzvah, Yavoma Yavoleo. There's a mitzvah that the Yavam should marry her. And there's a lav called Loisia Isha Samei Sachutzeli Zah. She's not allowed to marry out the Yavama. So the way the Chassam Sofer sees it is that Chalitza gets rid of the lav. But it's not a Makir mitzvah. It's an option. The Torah basically said there's a mitzvah. You can't leave the Yavama tied to you. That's not an option. Because that's like leaving her in a guna. You can't keep the Yavama hanging on you. So you have to either do Yibum, which is a mitzvah, or Chalitza, which is a matir. Like a get. Many of the Rishonim explain, get is not a mitzvah. That's why there's no bruch on a get. It's not a mitzvah, it's a matir. So Chalitza is that way. The only thing is, Chalitza is obligatory. You have to do, you can't leave the Yavama, but you're not really doing a mitzvah. Nafkamina would be very simple. You have, let's say, you have a guy dies. Okay? And he leaves over a brother that's 95 in Australia. Yeah? So there's a brother in Australia that's 95, and there's a 94-year-old, you know, lady, Almona, Yavoma, in America. And now we want to know if we should fly in. Neither one of them have any plans of going on the Shidduch market. They're both nowhere near the Shidduch market. But, do you have to do Chalitza? It's a mitzvah. So Chassam Sofer says no. If Chalitza is a mitzvah, then you have to do Chalitza. But if Chalitza is nothing more than a matir, they're not getting married anyway. You have to be given no matir. You know, there's nothing to give it. And there's a meridic araya to the Chassam Sofer. Because in Meseches Sanhedrin, which we had recently in Daf Yomi a couple of years ago, the Gemara says over there that Eshes Melech, the wife of a king, you don't do Yibum, and you don't do Chalitza. So Yibum you don't do because you're not allowed to marry the wife of the king. Why don't you do Chalitza? So Rashi says, because Sharei Asuri, she's not allowed to marry anybody else anyway, the Almon of a king. So since she, what's the answer? If there's a mitzvah to do Chalitza, so who cares if she's going to get married? So from Rashi is mashma like the Chassam Sofer, that the Chalitza is not a mitzvah, Chalitza is a matir. If that's the case, then Rav Yashiv's question from Tosfos falls off. Because Rav Yashiv is asking, how could Tosfos ask that over here, why do we force you to do this option? What do you mean? By Yibam Chalitza, the reason why we don't force you is because Chalitza is also a mitzvah. That's Rav Yashiv's whole question. He says, V'aloi. He says, "Bishnei drochim yesh mitzvah, sharei chalitza gam kein mitzvah." That's Rav Yashiv's question. But according to the way we're learning, then according to the Chassam Sofer, he doesn't have a kasha. So first of all, Tosfos could hold like the Chassam Sofer. Tosfos could hold that way. So then it won't be such a question. But I think the furthermore we could say is like this: the mitzvah of the redemption. The reason why Tosfos has this problem is because we know there's two kinds of mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah where the main part of the mitzvah is the maisa mitzvah, like wearing tefillin, shaking lulav, eating matzah. The main part of the mitzvah is the maisa mitzvah, doing the mitzvah. That's why you can't make a shliach for those mitzvahs, generally speaking. It's a mitzvah shebeguf. And then there's a mitzvah where the main thing is the conclusion. The main thing is the outcome. The mitzvah is not the maisa mitzvah. The main thing is the outcome. When the main aspect of the mitzvah is the outcome, sometimes you don't even need a shliach. The main thing is the mitzvah should happen. The main thing is that the mitzvah should happen. Like Reb Kiveger explains in many places, that you have mitzvahs where the mitzvah is only the outcome, like getting rid of chometz. So the Gemara in Bava Kama uses a language, hakol mitzuvim levare. What does that mean? The main mitzvah is that when chatzos comes, Erev Pesach, all your chometz is gone. You don't need to make this guy a shliach for you to do it. He could destroy your chometz without your knowledge. And you'll still be mekayim the fact that Pesach comes, you don't have chometz in your domain. Because the mitzvah is not the mice of destroying the chometz. The mitzvah is that there should be no chometz in your domain. Rav Kiveger says by Mila it works that way. The mitzvah is not on the father that the father should do the bris. The mitzvah is that the son, the father should see to it somehow that the son has a bris. You don't even need a shliach. Because the Rav Kiveger proves it from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin, the Gemara has a tzad that you could use a goy for a moil. Imagine that. You have a sheik, it's a moil. The Gemara comes out not. Reb Kivega asks, how could the Gemara have a havamina that you could use a moil of a guy? He can't be a shliach. You know, like we do before the bris, we make the moil a shliach. So Reb Kivega asks, how could the Gemara have a havamina that you use a goy for a moil? You can't make him into a shliach. You can't make the goy into a shliach. That's Reb Kivega's kash. So Reb Kivega says, doesn't matter. You don't need a shliach. All the father has is a mitzvah to make sure that that occurs. That the end result is that the son becomes mole. Reb Kivega goes a step further. He says even a monkey would be kosher. If a monkey would be a good moil, if halachically a monkey would do a bris, it would be kosher. The father would be able to be mechabed a monkey with the bris too. Because the father has no mitzvah to do the bris. And even the brocha the father makes is lachnisei bebrisa. He doesn't make a brocha al amila. He makes a brocha lachnisei bebrisa shel avram avinu. He makes a brocha. The son should go in to the bris. I believe that that's pshat in Tosfos. The mitzvah, the mice of redemption. The mitzvah is that the field should be redeemed from hektish. The field shouldn't sit vacant, dormant by hektish. It should be redeemed. Whether the owner redeems it or someone else redeems it, the outcome is the same. Tosfos is bothered if that's the case, what's the owner? That's the reason why Tosfos has the kash. If the mitzvah would be like tefillin and matzah and lulav, I've had that Rav Eliashiv is right, that there's no analogy, there's no comparison to the other cases in Bechoris. But Tosfos understands that the mitzvah of redemption is not that I have a mitzvah, hinni muchan, the Bialim have a mitzvah to redeem it. They have a mitzvah to see to it that it gets redeemed. So why would we force him to redeem it? As long as, like we've been discussing, as long as it gets redeemed, that's okay. That's why we said it would make sense that if nobody redeems it, we go back to the owner, we say, listen, it's on your lap. That would make sense. That's not Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos Kasha is why do we force the other to redeem the mitzvah, to redeem the field. That's Tosfos Kasha. So I believe we're back to square one. Now we understand Tosfos, but we're back to square one. Why is it that, what's Taka's explanation? Why do we force him, number one? And we, as we said, even Tosfos' reason that he gives, because we're afraid that somebody will be moil, that doesn't make sense. It should be on the owner. Makes sense. Hekdesh has to worry about that. And number two, the second question we had was that even if we would somehow understand that it's the owner's problem, then Petach Hamor should be the same thing. The firstborn donkey should be the same thing. The owner should have to redeem it. Now. Or knock that off now. You can't wait. Because you're delaying, you're disemealing. So I just want to give you a hesber in this, which I think will also open up the door to understand a very difficult Rambam. We got here, I have to apologize because it must be that I gave Reb Naftali. Naftali, you're here, right? I must have given you the wrong Rambam because it's Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, and we have the Rambam here, Perek Zayin Halacha. But the Rambam, in Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, when he brings down this din of our Mishnah, it's very interesting. The Rambam brings the din of our Mishnah of Koifin only b'shoa shein ha'yevel noyeg. That means according to the Rambam, b'zman shebeis hamigdash ha'yekayim, when the Beis Hamigdash was around, we wouldn't force a person to go and redeem the field. It was all b'zman ha'yevel. We wouldn't force the Bialim to redeem the field. And the Ravid, of course, on the spot says that doesn't make sense. Why should be a difference? This is the Rambam's lashon. Hamakdish te'achuza. Mitzvah olov livdoisoi. There's a mitzvah for him to redeem it. And that mitzvah is always there, says the Rambam. Mitzvah, there's a mitzvah. But the Rambam says, loy rotzo ein koifin aisa. We don't force you. Exactly the way Tosfos asked the kasha. We don't force you. Let somebody else redeem it. It's better for you. It's good for you to redeem it. But then he says, listen, then he says, Bamedvom Amurim, when is this? Bizman Shemitzviz Yoivil Noheges. When Yoivil is Noheg, then yes. And then, if he doesn't redeem it, Teitzel HaKoyanim, Kamoy Shabiyahu. But, Avul Bizman Shebotlu HaYoivilis, says the Rambam, but if there's no Yoivil, He says, then, soifoli fodesh loilam, it could be redeemed any time. Koifin esa'odoin liftoyach tchila. We force the owner to redeem it. So the Rambam learns that the whole din of our sugya is only bizman she'ena yoivel noyeg. When the yoivel is noyeg, then we don't force the bialim to redeem it. That's the Rambam, the way the Rambam learns the Gemara. So the Ravid, of course, says, Omar Avram, loy motzosi shum hefrish bein zeh lezeh. I don't know what the Rambam is saying. Even if the Rambam would say that the whole mitzvah for the Adon to redeem it is only when the Yevil is not noyeg, then maybe we could understand the Rambam. The Rambam says, no, there's always a mitzvah for the owner to redeem it. We just don't force him. When Yevil is noyeg, we don't force him. When Yevil is not noyeg, then we do force him. So I actually think not only is this Rambam not difficult, but he enlightens all the problems that we had with understanding this whole forcing business. But as I said, this is what the Ravid says. Sharei mitzvahs geula adin ksuvi ba'toyri b'shoshay yevil. That's all. So the Ravid says he disagrees with the Rambam. He doesn't understand why there should be any kind of halacha that only when the yevil is not noyeg do we force the owner. Otherwise not. So I wanted to mevayer this with a very interesting Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says as follows. So Yerushalmi in Peah. Hikdish Sadehu. If somebody was Makdish's field, and then he redeems it back from Hekdish, the question is it chayev now in Peah? So the Yerushalmi says, because Hefker is potter from Peah. So if the field was Hefker, and then the owner took it back from Hefker, he wouldn't have to give Peah. The owner is not an owner. He's taking a field back from Hefker. So if I have a field that I made Hefker, and then I go and I'm cleaning the field back from Hefker, I'm like anybody else. And I'm potter from Peah. What happens if I was Makdish my field? While it was by Hekdish, it was potter from Peah. And then I went and I redeemed the field back. So it should be the same thing. Just like by Peah, by Hefker, you're potter, because it went out of your domain and became potter from Hefker. Now when you take it back, it should remain potter. Comes to Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says like this. Yerushalmi says, Higdish Kama, if you redeem the field, one out, the pay is unique, that the mitzvah pay is while it's attached to the ground. The mitzvah, trumas and maestras, all that is chal after you cut. And you, mitzvah's pay is while it's connected to the ground. So the Yerushalmi says, Higdish Kama, you went ahead and you were makdish the Kama, upada Kama, and then you redeem back. Says the Yerushalmi Chayev. Yechayiv and Peah. Ask the Yerushalmi, Ma bein Hefker lehekdash? Hefker not. If you made your field Hefker and redeemed it back, you don't have to give Peah. But if you makdash your field and you give it back, you do. You have to realize that if anything, Hekdash would be a bigger ptur than Hefker. I'll tell you why. Because there's a whole controversy in the Yerushalmi and the Dorim. Whenever you make something Hefker, does it go out of your domain immediately? Or does it only go out of your domain when the other person takes it? In other words, is Hefker almost like a parva nishtahina nishtahera time? Or does Hefker go, it's out of your domain? Machloikis, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudin, Yerushalmi. And actually, the Achronim, Hefker doesn't work for Chometz, how does it work for the other things? But this is what, so Yerushalmi says, no. Hefker yotza bailim. Avol hegdish lo yotze yedei abayla. So what's going on? So you should be potter. It's Pella. So this is not clarified in the Yerushalmi, what the Yerushalmi's answer is. What's going on here? So how do we answer this Yerushalmi? This will directly affect how to understand our sugya. The answer to this Yerushalmi, I believe, ties into a Ramban that we discussed many months ago, where we discussed the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKan by Hekdesh, And over there, the Gemara in Chulin, in Perek Shiluch HaKan, the Gemara brings down what happens if you have a bird that you will makdish to Hekdish, and then the bird ran away. Tanagul Shemirda. So the Gemara says, then it's not Hekdish anymore. It's not Hekdish. Why? So Rishonim explained, because the Gizbar, the one in charge, he's Miyayish. He gives up hope. So he says, what's going on here? Who's the Gizbar to give up hope? This belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gizbar is a volunteer. If I have an object, right, and I have somebody watching my object, and he's Miyayish for my object, or he's Mafkir my object, he has no right to, it's my thing. So this belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Who cares that the Gizbar gave up hope? This is a kasha that all the Rishonim asked, Ramban, the Rash, but they all ask. And they say a fascinating answer. They say like this, and this came up many times we had this Yesoid in Erechim. When you're makdish something, there's a big difference between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Domim. Kedushas Domim, when I'm makdish something with Kedushas Domim, it's oimit to be redeemed. So it's really, I'm not even giving the object to Hekdesh. The thing is, I'm giving the value to Hekdesh. It's all mashkin, I'm collateral. And Hekdesh, you should see a way to get to cash out of this object. So I'm not even really giving them the object itself. Says the Ramban, Memela, once Hekdesh doesn't have a way to cash out, so Memela the Hekdesh is bottled. If the object would inherently be Hekdesh, that this chicken would be Hekdesh, he could go anywhere, this chicken. This chicken goes to Africa. It's objectively, it's Hekdesh. But if the only thing this chicken has is a cash in value, so once that cash in value can't be materialized, so that's it. The Shibud is gone. It's not that the Hekdesh, there is no Hekdesh. A Klisharis, for instance, if the Gizbar would lose a sakin of shchita, or he would lose a machta for a mincha. So it doesn't matter if the Gizbar would give up on it, it still would be Hekdesh, because it's inherently Kedusha. Mashenkin, when you makdish something, Kedusha is dummy. So then, inherently, the object is not Kodesh. So what is it? It's the cash-in value. There's a cash-in value. It's like I gave to Hekdesh. Now we understand, first of all, right away, the Rambam now becomes very clear. This is all true by something that permanently, status quo, I gave it to Hekdesh. What I really was giving Hekdesh was the cash in value. That's all I was giving Hekdesh. Right? That's true about all times when you give something to Hekdesh. There's one exception. Stay achuzah bizman shayyevel noyek. Stay achuzah bizman shayyevel noyek. The Bailim don't redeem it, it goes then to the Kohen. That means Hekdesh takes over the object itself, it becomes non-redeemable, and now it goes to the Kohen. So that means when I'm Makdesh a field during the time that the Yovel is Noyek, I'm not just giving Hekdesh a cash in value, I'm giving them permanent ownership that will be cashed in, it's like a bond. That's going to be cashed in at this and this year. If nothing happens, if nothing gets manipulated, this thing is going to go to the Koyani. Comes the Ram, now we understand, right? First of all, what is the Yerushalmi telling us? If you're Makdash Yefield and you redeem it back, of course it's Chayv and Peah. Because it never really left your domain. It was by you the whole time. You gave the cash in value to Hekdesh and then you cashed it in. So therefore, it doesn't become Potter from Peah. Says the Ram, very simple. When you makdish, when Yovel is not noyek, then the field is really still in your domain. All you gave Hekdesh was the cash in value. Proof of the pudding is, that if you went ahead and redeemed it back now, it would be chayv and peah. You would be chayv and peah. Right? So that's the proof that this is really in your domain. Says the Rambam, if that's the case, obligation to reach the field back. So we don't just come to you and say, be a good Samaritan. But that's only on She'ein ha'yovel noyeg. But bizman she'ayovel noyeg, then at that point, you're being makdish the field completely to Hekdish. So we can't go back to you. You say, what do I have to do here? I gave it over to Hekdish. I'm not a b'chutneh. Now, in a sense, we understand Tosis also. Because now if somebody would be moil in the field, we look at you. You're Mr. Bailam here. You have still a shtickle responsibility here. This is still in your domain, this field. It's true you gave the cash and value to Hekdish, but you're still the Bailam. You still have a yachas here. And that's why everything is put upon you. And that's the whole Indian of Koifin. That answers Tosis kasha. It answers the kashas that they have on Tosis. And so there's a, basically what's coming out is that not only are there different ramifications, if you makdish a field when yovel is noyeg, and if you makdish a field when yovel is not noyeg, but different hekdish. When yovel is noyeg, you're being makdish the field and it is entirely. Now look, I'll read you the Rambam, you'll see how meduyik this is in the Rambam. The Rambam comes and the Rambam says, Hamagdish te achuzo mitzvah of Lavdoisai. But ain't koifenos. Ba'med vorm amurim bizman she mitzvah yoivel neheges. He says, then we don't force you. Listen to what he says, why not? He says, you know why? Shem yagia yoivel v'lo yigolenu. Because if you don't redeem it by yoivel, teitzel akoyenim. What does that have to do with anything? The Rambam is explaining to you it's a permanent hekdish. So you're not achro, you're not mishubin here. Avu bizman shebotlu ayoivos. But when yoivel is not noyek, says the Rambam, elo soifo lihipodes lo oilam, who is redeemable? Which my original hekdish was only to give in that redemption ability to hekdish. Koifin esa odain lifteach tchila. Now we force you. We basically do what you got yourself into. Bismacha Yovel Noyeg, you kissed your field goodbye. You kissed your field goodbye. It's true, if you redeem it before Yovel, you'll get it back. But otherwise, if we leave it status quo, you just gave your field a kiss goodbye. We can't come back to you and say, Rabbi Yid, come back here. We need you to get involved. We don't have to get involved. I have nothing to do here. But Bisman Shaina Yovel Noyeg, you didn't kiss your field goodbye. You didn't kiss your field goodbye. You're still tied in. You're still tied in. So we have koifin. We have all the other fine halachas. Me'ila, this. We come to you from all sides. That's the chiluk. Okay, we'll stop here.